You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com. All right, we are here at the Libertarian Party of Indiana Convention. We have not talked about Libertarian Party stuff in a very long time. Can you remember the last time we talked about Libertarian Party stuff?
2017?
That feels about right. Probably 2019, 2020 maybe.
It feels like a long time.
I know I've interviewed like Chase Oliver, mm-hmm. and I've interviewed some people.
Yeah.
And I made snide comments and stuff like that.
But I don't think that you actually did like a concentrated episode on it or made me like, this is what's going on in the party. Read up on this. That hasn't happened in a long time. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. How do you feel about the Libertarian Party? Not the LPIN or just the word Libertarian Party. What comes up in your mind?
As of late, it stinks to have to put that title or that name anywhere near me.
Yeah.
It is a damaged brand to me.
We've had long conversations lately about changing the name of the network to We Are Libertarians or from We Are Libertarians to We Are Local or the Heartland Podcast Network or something else, because we run into, all of us hosts run into difficulties with people bringing their baggage to our shows because of the association with the word libertarian.
Correct. Yeah. It's the internet libertarians that are just, I don't know, some of them are these awful failed Republicans that call themselves libertarians, or like this, say, the outside the election year, the convenient libertarians. I dislike those. When it's not election year, they call themselves libertarians, like the Steven Crowders, those people. Yeah. I'm a libertarian.
Ben Shapiro, I'm a bit of a libertarian, and then goes on to say the most unlibertarian thing possible.
Exactly. Come on, you're not a libertarian. You're a libertarian when it's convenient outside the election year, but the moment the presidential election year turns around, you'll say every Republican talking point.
Yeah, go listen to Liberty Explained, our podcast about the basics of libertarianism, if you want to know more. But I thought it'd be fun. Evan McMahon, I saw him last week at my podcasting event, and Evan invited me to come and come to the convention. I'm the former executive director. It looks bad that I don't show up. It's a little bad for morale. I remember when I was the executive director and Klopp didn't show up. I'm like, all right, what did we do wrong? It's not that they've done anything wrong, Harry. It's just when you've got a kid, you've got a 6-year-old, I've got a 5-year-old, I've got an eight, 9-month-old, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to do things. It's hard to be involved in something like the LPIN. And I'm a little checked out on it. Yeah. I see so much of it online. I have a very negative feeling about all of it. I have a very... We tried so hard to get away from Abdul.
I know. And I don't help much either by not being a member of the party, have never been to a convention, so I'm not going to be the one that pushes you to go.
You never were a member of the party at all,
never,
were you?
Never have joined. Never. I think I've been a member of the GOP longer than I've been a member of the...
Most of our co-hosts in the history of this show have been a little negative towards the LP and never wanted to join it, and we're a little more GOP or totally politically agnostic like you.
Yeah. And there's a couple of times like I thought about joining up. Like I think the running gag I've had with producer Paul that I'm just going to sign up one day for a lifetime membership and not say anything.
Right.
Yeah. See how long I can be one without anyone noticing.
So, you know, when he invited me to come to the convention, I said, okay. Because I have very negative feelings about the party right now because of the national people and what I see online and really how I feel like when the leadership of the National Libertarian Party says you're not welcome, then I don't need you.
Right. Yeah.
I don't need to spend time. But I do have a lot of friends here because the Libertarian Party of Indiana executive director role that I had was so much fun. I built so many relationships, and it has been such an important part of my life. Even if Libertarian Party member, Libertarian podcaster is not really a piece of my identity anymore.
Yeah.
It's still great to come and see people that you love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And getting signs of the people, like the banners and stuff like that. So yeah, because there was that big enough time where it seemed like everyone from the LP would hate on us, would just, I can't believe you guys using that name, blah, 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 blah.
Locally and nationally.
Yeah, come after us for every little things that we said. It was like, first off, you can clearly police my speech if you donate and give me money, but you're not doing that, so back off.
Yeah, in 2016, almost 10 years ago, we felt that one candidate was not this guy was running for governor, and yep. I had seen video of him beating his wife, and I knew that the Republicans had a commercial ready to go. We came in, we ran a campaign against him. It was the first really contested race in a long time. We were very good at it. Our candidate yep. won, yep. but it was reputationally damaging, and a lot of the local people were very hostile for a long time about that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure still are, because I know they don't really hold a grudge either. They hold a grudge like I do. And then nationally, when Sam Goldstein was what?
I was just going to say, it would make sense for them to hold a grudge if that person was still here in the party, still doing work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But so when you feel like, and maybe I know other people didn't handle all that well. I know that people on our side could have handled things better. I could have done some things differently.
We grew up also after that. We yes. did a good postmortem of, okay, yeah, they did attack us. We were very childish on our attacks back.
Yes.
And we grew up after that. Yes.
Yeah. Post-2017, we really became a mature group of people. And then nationally in 2018, once the Mises Caucus comes around, and basically I said Michael Heiss, because he was lying about my former boss, Sam Goldstein, and Ron Paul being disinvited to the convention.
Right, yeah.
Michael Heiss said that the committee had not invited him, had disinvited Ron Paul to speak at the convention. Nothing could have been further from the truth, mm-hmm. and that fight earned us years of Michael Heiss and the Mises Caucus telling people not to listen to us. And then through COVID, Harry not being, I don't want to say conspiratorial, but not just checking out of those debates and not telling people what to do in terms of what they ought to take.
Yeah.
Being very firm against government action, correct, but yeah. not buying into all the culture war stuff around mm-hmm. all the different pieces, and being a little more classically liberal than a lot of those guys. It really hurt the brand nationally. And people like us, it was made very clear once they actually took over the party, are not welcome
right.
in yeah. their Libertarian Party. Mm-hmm. And so you say, I don't need to participate. Mm-hmm. So those two things, I think, really led me to just go, I don't need to be a part of this.
Exactly. Yeah. I can go my own way. You want to do this? Fine. Have it. You won the toy. You've got it. Do something with it now.
We do our podcast. Mm-hmm. We are libertarians. Mm-hmm. We're just not plugged into any movement, and I don't feel like serving that movement anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Especially in any movement that my friends can't come because they look a certain way or do a certain thing.
You yeah.
know, I don't. Yeah. If I can't dance, I want no part of your revolution.
But I felt like maybe we should come and give it a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be my first one. I've never been to one before. I've always been hesitant against it. Of course, you always push me to try different things, so this should be different.
All right, so let's start walking in while you finish your thought. And we'll walk into the convention. We'll find some people.
It's too bad I'll just leave and do yoga.
No, you got to go in now. Should I yell Baba Booey in the middle of Andy's interview with Abdul? Baba Booey. I thought we said we grew up. Like, yeah, I guess we didn't
say that we grew up and then like instantly do that.
We didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's first off, I see the chair of the Libertarian Party of Indiana. His name's mm-hmm. Evan McMahon. Let's go in this room here with him and have a conversation. Come on, Evan. Yeah. Can we talk to you? Now, Harry, you've never been to a Libertarian Party of Indiana event, have you?
Classic wall.
I forgot to hit record. We had the great patter. It was beautiful.
I know.
But you've never been. We can sit down. You've never been to a Libertarian Party of Indiana event, have you?
No, I've been to one official Libertarian event.
You've been doing this for 8 years, and you've never come to an LPIN event. Why?
Correct. There's a lot of nerds there. And
Harry, you're wearing a Cisco beanie.
Yeah, a lot of
with a kitten t-shirt.
A lot of nerds there, and I usually hear there's a cash bar, not an open bar. So that's.
I want to introduce you to the person who is responsible for you having to show up today, and it's Evan McMahon, who turned on that mic for me. Evan is the chair of the Libertarian Party of Indiana. We used to share an office. You've been on the podcast a bunch of times, especially in the early days. And you came to my podcasting, live podcasting event. Thank you for coming, Harry. You weren't there.
No, I was not there.
You can come in. It's okay. And he asked nicely. He said, he didn't ask nicely. He goes, I want you to be there next weekend. And I said, what's next weekend? And he said, the Libertarian Convention. I was totally unaware of what was happening this weekend because that's how checked out I am. Mm-hmm. But it was such pretty a nice typical. Invite that I said, I've got to go. I want to see all my friends that I see occasionally. And Harry, you got to come podcast with me. And he goes, no, not doing that. But here you are.
I know. You broke me into it. Yeah. Sorry I wasn't there last weekend. I was doing yoga in New Albany, Indiana.
That's okay.
A lot of fun.
But how have you found the nerds since you've been here?
There's a lot of nerds here. A lot of great conversation, a lot of great people, a lot of people I know online or have discussions with. You've been mostly in the hallway, but everywhere I go, there's been a lot of people wanting to say hi, to also want to chat and have nice conversations.
That's a great thing about coming to something like this is we're so disconnected from each other. And today, seeing each other on the Tiki Talks and the Snappy Chats and the Facebook feeds and threads and all that stuff, to actually have people that you may have known for years and have communicated with, had good conversations, arguments with, what have you, blood feuds. But now you actually get to see each other and
yeah, that creates I a saw Horny. Connection. I
yeah,
saw
yeah,
Horny.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
If I see him again, he's going to get it.
Andy's come a long way over the years.
Has he?
He has. I mean,
messaged me this week. Saying, you know what? That election was stolen. I didn't even respond. Now, all right. Here's
it was stolen.
I know you can
just
handle
from whom?
It.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to let you have it.
All right.
But the reason we haven't been here is because the Libertarian Party kind of sucks.
Yeah. No, we've not been the greatest over the years.
No, I think the Libertarian Party of Indiana is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I love all you guys. I love coming and seeing my friends. But we really haven't felt very welcome in the party, especially as things have progressed from 2018 on when I called out Heiss as a liar, proven right. And that came after We Are Libertarians and diminished the brand, and you had the takeover, and you had a lot of conversation about how classical liberals aren't welcome in the party. You just go, I don't want to, I'm not going to put energy and spend our airwaves promoting something that doesn't want us to be here.
Let me ask you something, Chris.
Let's hear it.
What did any of that you just spouted off, that checklist of things, have to do with Indiana?
It's the Libertarian Party.
Libertarian Party.
I have to, if I'm in the Libertarian Party and even one of its affiliates, I have to go out and answer for being associated with
the state. I have to answer for it. And here's how I answer for it whenever people question me about it. When we had a county chair who ended up being hired as the director of public works in Louisville, Kentucky. And it was challenged because the national chair had made anti-trans comments, because the former comms director at National had made anti-LGBT comments, and all of these things had happened. And I said, hey, listen, let me ask you something. National membership's gone down. State membership only goes up. National fundraising is the lowest it's been in my lifetime. The Libertarian Party of India is raising more money than it ever has before. We've, in 1 year, raised almost three times what we did in our three previous best years. Our membership is going up. Our candidate recruitment is going up. Our county affiliations are going up. We're getting more positive hits in the press, and we're doing it by talking about classic libertarian issues. We came out against that weird bill redefining what gender was. We came out against schools and public libraries banning books. We came out and we did all the things that that the Libertarian Party has stood for 52 years. We keep talking about them. National does its thing. Whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, that's National. Here in Indiana, we care about libertarian policies within our state.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not focused on the clown show in another state and what bad messaging they have. I'm not going to comment on what somebody else says, because it's not my clowns, not my circus, not my monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm focused here in Indiana and making the difference here. And we can see that we are making that difference when one of the major contenders for lieutenant governor steals one of our decades-long party lines and one of the campaign platforms from our last gubernatorial candidate, just straight up steals it like it just came to her one day in the bathroom. That's how we're making a difference. We're making a difference that way in major policy around the state, but also in the small towns, the township boards. Clayton Soltz, who was elected unopposed to a city council, to Jonesboro City Council. They were like, hey, we're not going to run anybody against this guy because he's pretty smart. Yeah. And we like what he has to say about positive changes to our local government. So I ask you again, what does any of that have to do with Indiana? Be part of the solution by being the example, because I hear from every other state, we want to be like Indiana. We want to be like you guys. We want to have the success that you guys have. And I say, cool, this is how you do it.
So how do you do it? How have you guys done it over the last really since Don Rainwater came in, used the messaging that we talked about during that era of COVID, which is all government should be doing is giving you scientific data.
Letting you make choices for yourself.
Let you make choices for yourself. Go out and take it seriously if you want. Mm-hmm. Don't take it seriously if you don't want, but be respectful of other people. Mm-hmm. But government should have no role. We should not be closing businesses. We should not be forcing people to do anything. And Don Rainwater ended up with how many counties? 33 counties?
33 counties in a three-way race. He came in second place out of 92 counties. And over a third of the state, he came in second place in a three-way race in a straight ticket voting state.
Yeah.
Don Rainwater beat the Democrat in 33 counties.
Who wanted to run a Whitmer-style regime if she got elected.
Yeah, he.
He got elected, Woody Myers. And when you look at those numbers between Joe Biden and Woody Myers, like...
Drastic.
Woody got slaughtered.
Yeah.
Because Indiana's not about that.
Yeah.
But how did you capitalize on that as an organization and start to build something different from national or from where we'd been in the past?
It's a lot of both, actually, because national wasn't really, we didn't see some of the roadblocks that we've seen in the past couple of years. So it really became taking the successes and the foundation that we had built in Indiana and intensifying it. And going and taking the next step. There's a lot of leaders that built the walls of this place as a party. We just need to put the roof on and the steeple.
Yeah.
But what we did was we gave people things to do. We want you to organize your county party. We're going to help you do it. We're going to help you organize your first events. The other thing that we did was we tenfold increased communications. As a state party, me and our comms director, Andrew Smith, we sat down just this last year and we mapped out a calendar of 6 months of putting out op-eds and press releases on things we knew ahead of time, one a week.
Yeah, that's great.
And when I say op-eds, like we sit down and we do research, but we plan the topics and then we have our response to, oh shit, what happened.
Right.
And those press releases that happen. We have our candidate spotlights, our county affiliate, and our volunteer spotlights. But we're putting out hard things every week. We're communicating with our members. We're telling them what we're doing that's successful. We're giving them opportunities to be involved, whether it's through their time or their resources. That's what's making us successful. It's not just sitting down and writing out a 5-year, 10-year action plan or strategic plan and then think it's magically going to happen because you wrote it down on paper. You actually got to put the work into it. And the way you put the work into it is by asking people to put the work into
it. Yeah. Which is when I was executive director 08 to 12.
You were 90% of the work.
I took all the work on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ask enough people, and then I didn't have enough trust for them to follow through.
It's one of my shortfalls as the state chair is there's a lot of times where I just do the thing, but I know that I can't always do the thing. And so a lot of the stuff, we find the people. And even in that period where I'm doing the thing, I'm looking for the next person to say, hey, I need you to be in charge of this from now on, or I need you to just take this thing on for right now. I've been leading our convention teams for the past couple of years because, unfortunately, the past few years it fell, I don't want to say last minute, but a lot of things fell through the cracks. I have a convention team now that's amazing, that they've got the checklists, they've got the weird things, and they add little things to it. Hey, maybe make sure that the next venue we go to doesn't have a ridiculous, crazy, case-sensitive Wi-Fi password as just another little thing to put on the checklist.
Harry, evaluate that.
Wi-Fi password should be secure, but it doesn't mean anything if you're going to keep the password in for it. Also a thing, too.
Right, if you're just standing up there trying, you know, mom and pop kettle to log in on their smartphone that's just this side of a jitterbug, like that's difficult.
You walk into the venue and you had three people at the reservation desk. Someone brought me and Harry our tags. Mm-hmm. The last one I went to was 2016, not one I was in charge of, but just the last one I attended to vote against certain people.
I mean, our system now.
And it was like poor Alyssa at a card table, overwhelmed, trying the check-in experience, the venue, everything just seems so much
professionalized.
More professional. There's 20 vendors out here?
Yeah.
20 tables?
Yeah. Plus we've got presidential candidates in there technically.
Yeah. So whereas 2012, I think we had 3.
Yeah.
So clearly there's a lot of growth that's happened.
Did you see the program, the brochure?
Yeah. The program looked great. Yeah.
So it wasn't...
We do that all in-house.
Yeah, like the
printing, the folding, all of that's all done in-house, the designing, everything.
The printed newsletter I got in the mail because you made me join.
Yeah.
So you forced me to join for delegate counts. You're like, look, if you really don't like Mises, you have to join as a delegate so I can send
only people who show up have a voice. So this is how you show up.
I was like, I'll help your delegate count. But so when I was ED...
You liked the newsletter, right?
Oh, yeah. The newsletter was amazing. Like, it's very professional. Like, I will say...
Is that something you feel like when you see that, do you feel proud to be a part of that organization?
When I walked in today, it felt like an organization.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Not that it was professional, but that there is an organization.
We had 75 people at our socializer last night.
You gotta stop calling a socializer, by the way.
It is a socializer. That's what it is.
Call it a mixer.
I like socializer. I don't like mixer because that implies drinking and alcohol, and not all of us are lushes.
Exactly, yeah.
But socializer is like socialist.
No, socializer means... What?
I saw that. Weird I was boomer. Like, this is the dumbest
this
thing.
This is the boomerest thing you've ever
this
said.
Is the most Evan boomer. Weirdest... call it a networking event, a mixer, a party.
That's like an you're event. Young, people want to millennial, go to a party. Gen Z-er, weird. We're just going to... You know what? Who cares? It's Friday night party. So the Friday night for the, so the Friday night party had 75 people. That is more people for that thing that's just fun than most state conventions have.
Yeah.
And it had to have been a lot of fun. I was trying to convince, I did everything in my power to convince producer Paul not to go and come hang out with us, and it wasn't working.
Yep.
I almost felt like buying him a video game. If you come, I'll buy you this game.
Yeah, the night before the convention has always traditionally been the party. People come into town, everybody hangs out, you catch up with people you haven't seen maybe in a year. This year, it was put on by the presidential candidate, so you had a bunch of them in here.
Yep.
Who'd you have come in from the president?
Chase Oliver, Lars Mobsted, Mike Termott, and then Jacob Hornberger sent me some materials, but didn't have anybody.
I don't know if Brian is still lurking around here, but I apparently in my head, I call him Mike Mertot.
Oh, okay.
And, you know how
it's,
I get...
It's Termott.
Termott. Yeah. And he was like, how can you make that mistake?
Yeah, that's weird.
But in my head, it's like Mike McCarthy.
Oh, okay.
Not Kevin McCarthy.
Gotcha.
So yeah, you've done a lot to professionalize it.
He's actually in being at that event last night, seeing Mike Termott there. He's very knowledgeable, well-spoken, and actually incredibly funny. Had a great time with him. People who are supporting him, people who are not supporting, everybody walked away from that going, he's actually a fun guy. Hmm. He's nice to hang out with. He's been here to Indiana a few times now. He's supported a lot of our candidates. And I'm not trying to pitch for him. I just, you know.
Yeah. People tend to think, I think our listeners, people who are disconnected or maybe have never been to an event, or been plugged into any kind of party, all you see online is the fights.
Yeah.
The party is Mises Caucus. It is Angela McArdle supporting Russian plants. It is state parties suing each other. And we don't really talk about any of that anymore because we don't really care about that. It's, you know, I said my piece in 2018, nobody listened, so what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. But it really does feel like the whole takeover thing is running its course and is about to wrap up. And this convention is going to be their last gasp. I won't ask you to comment unless you don't want to, but I will say, like, when you lose a third of your membership, you lose all of your office staff, all of your institutional knowledge, you aren't going to put on Bill Redpath on the board who is an expert in ballot access. You're renting out your office space instead of using it in the building that you own. It doesn't seem to me like that is a project that is going well.
I don't think anybody can actually look at National and say that it's a ton of success. I think they've had some programs that were very successful. They've instituted some things that were very helpful to affiliates and county parties. So I give credit where credit is due. But yeah, I don't think there's anybody that can look at the metrics for measuring National success and say that it's been peachy keen.
Goldstein, when he was chair, when I was executive director, National's a mess.
Yeah.
Don't donate to them, just give to us.
Well, it's funny.
Have you had that kind of continue that of just support us?
Oh, it's always been that way. So a couple of years ago.
It seems extra right now, but it has always been in the 15, 20 years I've been at the party.
Yeah, it's support the traditional. Your local, yeah. A while ago, one of the conventions, I think it might have been last year, somebody got upset because I had said that we were asked if we were going to pitch for Indiana to host a convention, and I said, no, don't bring that cesspool here. It was exactly what I said. And the person thought I was attacking the national leadership. Like I was taking a position as state chair on, you know, this caucus versus that caucus. And I'm like, no, I would have said it if Mark Rutherford was chair.
Yeah.
Because we don't want the national party apparatus doing its thing here. It's a lot of problems. And I tried to explain that people think it's great to get the state convention or to get the national convention. It's actually not, especially in an election cycle.
Yeah.
Because you have to put all of your volunteer resources into it to make it a good event. You can't fundraise at it at all. So all of the funds that you spend to maintain it and to help organize it and be the boots on the ground, that's money just wasted in an election year. No, I don't know.
So how in Indiana is not with a caucus. We never had caucuses.
And no.
One of the reasons that Indiana works compared to other state parties is you have people who bring institutional knowledge who have been around for 30, 40 years, or in Joe Houtman's case, 50 years, who was here, and we'll probably end up talking to him on the podcast. There's no caucuses, really.
No.
But there does seem to be a different flavor, at least what I see online, of the Mises guys and the I'm anti-democracy, I'm borderline anti-capitalist, I'm a little Trump flirtatious, right? Like, how have you dealt with Mises guys and maybe like people who don't hold on to orthodox libertarian beliefs like maybe you and I came up with as chair?
The first thing is everybody, we heard Dr. Michael Munger years ago talking about the liberty train.
Yeah.
And people get on the liberty train at different points in their life and at different policies, and they get off at different points in their life. But as long as the train is heading towards Libertopia Town, and we're all going in that same direction, it doesn't matter where you get on or where you get off. Okay.
And you will get off at Libertopia Town.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that was Libertine-topia Town. I got my map confused.
There are people that I don't like. There are people that I just personally can't stand and don't like.
We're not going to call Greg Nolan out. It's okay.
I love Greg.
I'm just kidding. I love Greg too. He's the nicest man. He even looks like
he's a good balance. But here's the thing. I will do my absolute best to treat every single person that comes to this party that wants to see it grow and prosper and wants to see it work and wants to see people, see libertarian policies put in place in their local, state, or national level. I'll give them all my respect. Every single person. You sign up here, I'm going to fight for you, even if I don't like you. And I've done that for people that were in various caucuses that sent me horrible messages that when they had a problem, I went to bat for them. We made, you know, there was a couple of Mises caucus people early on that made comments that Indiana was hostile to Mises caucus. And I said, I reached out to them and I said, how? I genuinely would like to know how the state party was hostile to you. Because I want to fix that. And they were like, it's not really that. It's just, we figured because the whole board was Prague. So, you know, you guys would be hostile.
They had assumed a caucus.
Yeah.
Right.
And I said, okay, cool. Couple things. You're not a current member. So let's fix that. Also, you don't have a county party. Would you like to be made a temporary chair and organize your county party?
How many said yes or no?
About 50-50.
Okay.
Some of them died off really quick. But some of them have put in the work and have grown their county party. And we're not in disagreement. We don't get in fights. We don't get in odds. We don't, even when we disagree on policy. For instance, we put out a couple of things. One, we had a major thing that we put out on when Roe v. Wade was essentially overturned. We put out a statement and there were people in the Mises caucus who were fighting for some of the pro-choice language to stay in. And there were people and not in the Mises caucus who were fighting to have some of the pro-life statements.
We saw that with Rupert's campaign in 2012, where it was very pro-LGBT. And there wasn't a caucus, but there was definitely
people who were
more socially conservative. Like, why are we leading with this?
Yeah. And what my experience has been is if you just try to treat people with respect and you try to listen to people, you're going to get a lot further. I know it's hard.
Idiot.
And it is hard. And there are people who say horrible, mean, crappy things to me on the regular. And it's hard for me to not be mean back.
I think,
but the thing is that the reason why is because I think that most people have good intentions. They're also trying to do what they think is right.
Yeah. What I have found in the audience that is part of the Mises Caucus, the rank and file, and through your eyes and talking to people here locally, it's that people are, and Harry, I'll have you ask a question after this. We're just padding because Evan actually has things to do. It's just lunchtime, so nobody's around. And last couple questions, because I know you want to eat too.
I'm not going to eat until tonight.
But what I found is that the people who are against the Mises Caucus lump everybody into maybe Jeremy Kaufman or the guy who's chair of California, or, and there's like a lack of awareness that a regular rank and file guy like our friend Mike down in Arizona, or some of the people that are here in Indiana that affiliate with the Mises Caucus, they're not even about what is going on in New Hampshire or California. They just want to show up and grow libertarianism in their local area. Can you dispel the myth for our fakertarian friends that all Mises people are Hoppian zealots who are secret race?
Or are they? I can tell you that they're not. They're absolutely not. Clayton Soltz, who is the secretary of the state party, we worked with him for a year before he ran for secretary. And we disagree on some things, but he still tries to approach things from a reasonable, rational place. But he has a lot of his own personal opinions. But he also doesn't like overturn the table and scream and yell because he was outvoted on something. And sometimes he says, hey, listen, I'm just, yes. Oh yeah. He was one of the organizers in Indiana.
Okay.
You have the opportunity today to bid on putting a cream pie in his face today. That's an auction item up on the thing. So you can, and he would want me to tell you, bid hard. He's the Mises Caucus organizer in Indiana. This is why I don't like caucuses, because people lump each other into them. The Prague Caucus isn't saints. They're not great at everything. They're not the bastion of saving the Libertarian Party. There are some really bad people doing bad things in that old caucus. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, I'm good friends with Joe Bishop Henchman. I supported Joe Bishop Henchman in his chair. He did some not okay things. He interfered in the sovereignty of another affiliate, whether he thought it was good or not, whether he thought it was right or not. He did that. And it was wrong. It was not something that he should have done as chair. And he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. That wasn't Mises. That was the Prags.
Yeah.
Nick Sarwark was part of the Radical Caucus. I'm good friends with Nick. He's like a brother. He's been wrong many times. He'll disagree with me on that.
Yeah. I know he will, but he's wrong.
There's not great in everywhere. We've all got our warts in our own little group, but we've also got our gold stars who are shining examples. And the key is to being successful in this is to not walk into a room and assume that the person is a pile of garbage.
Yeah.
Assume that there's somebody who is a person that is deserving of at least your initial respect, and give them the opportunity to shine or to be the pile of garbage. Choice is theirs.
So you just see the caucus system just forms unnecessary tribes inside of it, or
I don't know that camps. It necessarily forms unnecessarily tribes. I know I'm contradicting myself here, but sometimes it is necessary for a group of people who are aligned with a subset of ideas to get together.
Okay.
I think that it takes the caucus structure in its whole takes things a bit too far, in my opinion.
Okay.
I hate it. I think it's compared to where we were at from when I joined in 07 through 16, when I really checked out, it was so much better than what the party is now, because when you structure people into these groups, you can throw every preconceived notion onto an individual based on their caucus, as opposed to the way it used to operate in the party, which is you disagreed individually with certain people.
Right.
And it just was such a better libertarian, more individualistic way to do it. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, so you like the idea of people getting together to help do these different camps, but you just wish the human condition was better at throwing away the group and just knowing the person inside the group.
Exactly.
Okay.
There are also limits to that, too. There's sometimes, like, I'm not going to say find the rough diamond in the clan. Like, there's reasonable limitations, yeah. but you know, also allow somebody to redeem themselves. You know what I mean?
All right, Evan, give your pitch. Please tell people how they can get involved and why they should. Why should I? I'm grill pilled. I've got two kids. I'm trying to make money.
Yeah.
Why should I give you any of my time or money?
That the money that you do make, you actually get more of it in your pocket, and that money actually can buy more things, because we're against the government playing fun games with your money at your expense.
Things that taxes have done to me the last 3 years.
Yeah.
The things that taxes that's have done
the truth.
To me.
You want somebody to be a libertarian, make them actually write the check for their taxes every week. Don't take it out of their paycheck. Make them write that check. A 90% conversion rate into libertarianism day one. Here's the pitch. Do you feel like you are getting your core beliefs represented by either of the two parties? If you've been a lifelong Democrat, do you really believe that Democrats believe in free speech, that they believe in personal choice, or do they only believe in free speech and personal choice for the things that they agree with? Mm-hmm. Do you believe that Republicans actually believe in limited government that stays out of your lives and low taxes? Or do you see that in 1 year alone, Republicans in the state passed 40 new tax increases and expanded red flag laws? And when, you know, the government can get involved into your finances and your social and personal life, those parties don't represent you anymore. Maybe it's time.
I think if Joe Biden or Donald Trump represent, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
As a human being, as an individual.
I think that, take a look. We know that essentially, 200,000 people voted libertarian for the first time with Don Rainwater.
Yeah.
It's hard the first time. It's a lot easier the second time. Just take that first time leap and cast your vote. The worst thing that happens is two people who don't believe in you end up winning.
Yeah.
The best thing that happens is somebody who actually believes in you and your individuality gets elected.
Harry, any other thoughts?
I was going to say 10,000. That's a lot of social proof, but people willing to do it.
All right, Evan McMahon, the website is lpin.org if you want to join up. They're on all the social media. You get a fancy newsletter if you become a member.
Do me a favor. Before you join, before you give your $25 a year to become a member, get involved with a candidate. Get involved with your county party. All of them are listed on the website. Give your time, and whether it's time reading or time volunteering, take a minute, get to know people, then come and join.
Yeah.
I'd rather you know and be proud of the people in your community that you're supporting than just to be a card-carrying
libertarian.
I was
super excited to meet Libby Glass, who I voted for today.
Yeah,
we interviewed
her. Awesome.
You'll hear from her in a little bit.
Oh, she's amazing. I love Libby. Yeah, she actually made the quilt that's up for auction.
Oh, cool. Nice. All right, Evan, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. And Harry.
Yeah, thanks, Evan.
Harry, I brought batteries.
Yeah.
And on my bag, my gig bag, on two sides, I have spent batteries and new batteries, and I grabbed three spent batteries and one new battery. Classic wall. Abdul... Yeah, hold on. Turn your mic on there.
Probably on the unspent battery.
Check 1, 2, 3. Check 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
You guys used to have an AOL podcast.
Abdul, you're no stranger to Spangle messing up.
Of course not.
Yeah. You've been witnessing it for 20 years now.
20 years come September.
20 years come September. We will have been, you will have moved to Indianapolis. We will have been friends for 20 years. I will have been broadcasting since September 2004.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, long time.
Abdul, you're here at the Libertarian Party of Indiana Convention. You are the only reporter that ever goes to all three conventions.
My wife wants to be out of the house on Saturdays.
Yeah, I guarantee no other reporter in town, because most of them don't, even the political reporters don't cover local politics anymore. But that's for another day. But you've watched the Libertarian Party change over 20 years. How would you judge what's going on at this convention versus maybe past conventions? What are your observations?
Actually, I will say, ironically, I think the public is actually catching up with libertarians on some issues these days. Mm. And you can thank Joe Biden and Donald Trump for that, because you have one guy who steals classified documents. The other guy can't remember where he put the classified documents. And out of a nation of 331 million people, okay, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, this is what we have to pick from?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I have the governor of Pennsylvania or maybe more moderate Republican run? But that's because that's where most of the people are, center-right, center-left. No, but the one thing I always respect about libertarians is when you guys choose your nominees, You don't use taxpayer money to do it.
Yeah.
You use the classic, we have a convention, we pay for it, and then we deal with the consequences of our actions. Unlike my Republican and Democrat friends, who I love dearly, and I'm about as establishment as you could possibly, I'm established with a capital E, I'm actually more like Dr. Establishment.
Yeah.
Not Mr. Mm-hmm. Establishment, is using taxpayer money to fund their primaries that I have a problem with, particularly with all the back and forth we just saw, you know, this session with John Russ, not getting on the ballot, him filing the lawsuit. Judge Dietrich issuing a stay, and then back and forth. It's just all this crap. It's okay. I get these are what the rules are, but I do think the rules should change. That mm-hmm. if you're gonna have a primary funded by the taxpayers, it should be open to all candidates. Should be open to all participants, regardless.
Yep. Yeah, it was neat while all this stuff was going on with Russ. Those same Republicans was arguing about the things that were going on with Trump and being kicked off the ballot in Colorado and now Illinois. There was like, this is doing it, but you guys are still doing this to Russ. You guys are doing this in this state.
What? You're expecting consistency in politics? What yeah. color are you, young man?
Just one little,
you know what's
bit
funny, by the way? Miss Pat, you've never had any black friends. I go, all of my co-hosts have been black. Abdul and Harry. Yeah.
She's like, how much more black can you get?
Yeah. And then Dion will pipe in and go, Harry's black.
New England black.
I'll admit I don't sound black on the radio. I freely admit that.
That was always the funniest thing when we worked together at the radio station. We'd go out to cocktails and conversation, and the old white boomers who vote for Trump now would walk up and go, oh, hi.
I thought you were taller. Yes, I know. I sound very tall on the air. Thank you very much.
You know what's funny about the Trump phenomenon, Abdul, is when I was screening calls for you back at WXNT, he just sounds like all those callers. He sounds like David from the West Side, right? He just sounds like one of those guys. And it seems like the natural evolution that one of those guys would elect one of their guys to be president.
The thing about Trump is, when he was president, actually, I respect him rolling back sort of the deregulation stuff. To me, a regulation is basically a tax on business. Got to comply with the regulation, got to spend money and resources. Everything else is like, dude, what are you doing? You're yeah. insane. And what Trump has tapped into, in my opinion, is he has made politics actually personal. That's why people feel an attack on Trump is an attack on them. And that's something I learned a long time ago. You can never personalize your politics. As soon as you fall in love with a politician, you're going to break your heart. Had happened 3 times.
Yeah.
Nope, never again.
There's two people you don't bring up to Abdul. The Star Trek actress's husband and Alan Keyes.
Oh.
I've never seen you get madder than when somebody called you Alan Keyes back in the day.
Oh, my God. No, like, I'm not Alan Keyes. The guy is crazy. He's bat crap crazy.
He's dead now, but back
never
in
looked
the day,
into it.
You know, he was like running for president in 08, 04 or something, and people kept calling him.
Yeah, I went back home to Springfield because mm-hmm. he was on the ballot because he spoke at our state fair, at the Illinois State Fair. It's like Republican Day, Democrat Day. So mm-hmm. Democrats have a Democrat speaker, Republicans have a Republican speaker. So they had Alan Keyes was a nominee mm-hmm. for the U.S. Senate. And I'm wearing my black polo shirt, white mm-hmm. khaki pants, black shoes, just very typical yeah. mm-hmm. state fair stuff. And this woman walks over to me like, thank you, Dr. Keyes. Thank you for fighting for life. So I'm not Alan Keyes.
And I'm going to fight for your life in a second.
He's crazy.
So is it just that the ship has sailed? It feels like we put a brick on the accelerator in 2007 and never took it off. Is it's never going to not be personal, or is this cyclical? Do we eventually, once Trump leaves the scene, do things cycle back where it's not so vitriolic?
I think once Trump leaves the scene, people realize that doesn't work, and that kind of goes away. If you look at the respective positions on the border, their two border speeches, as much as an issue I have with Joe Biden, I'll give him credit. Like, hey, Donald Trump, work with me. Let's solve this border crisis right. problem together, which is where most people are. Mm-hmm. Whereas Donald Trump went on some stream of conscious Lord of the Rings type rant. Are we done yet?
Yeah.
This you shall not pass.
Yeah.
Watch Lord of the Rings today on YouTube.
Probably end up watching it tomorrow.
Has that vitriolic anti-cooperative politics seeped down into the state and local here in Indiana yet?
Not necessarily, because for the most part, Democrats and Republicans in Indiana get along. It's about who's your hospitality. Just don't be now granted, 10% of the population are jerks
right.
or buttholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously you'll have that on both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, in the legislative part, most bills are passed like 80-5, 46-2. I mean, you have some issues like, you know, school vouchers and maybe some other things. But for the most part, 90% of the time, they all work together. Yeah. Even on the city county council and here in Marion County, just south of here, mm-hmm. although Democrats have a supermajority, they have more problems with their own caucus than they do Republicans.
Yeah. So if you're a Hoosier, check out the Indy Politics podcast. It's in very good hands, I hear.
I hear it's in excellent hands.
And where can people find out more about what you do and follow your work?
Follow me on indypolitics.org. Follow me on Twitter, ATY Abdul, or X, or whatever Elon Musk is calling it these days.
You know why he changed the name of it? He sold Twitter to his new company, X, and then wrote it all off as a loss. So he legally had to change the name to X to save $40 billion or something crazy. I just found that out.
What is
neat?
It's just genius.
He's not a genius.
And also on IndyPolitics.org, you can get a cheat sheet subscription for $100 a year. Nice. It's the best darn gossip, rumor, and blatant innuendo you'll ever get your hands on. And it's got the odd habit of actually being right 90% of the time.
We need to make an Alfred E. Newman out of you that just says $100 a year. Cheap.
Works for me.
All right. Thanks, Abdul.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
What are you afraid to be interviewed?
I have stage fright. So
oh, don't worry. Nobody's going to hear this. Nobody's going to hear this.
Yeah, no one's going to hear it. Yeah.
Talking to Libby Glass, who I voted for in the fall. You ran for what?
City Council for District 13. Yep. City Council for District 13.
Okay, so that's the district that I live in downtown Indianapolis. When I walked in, I couldn't believe that there was a libertarian on the ballot against the Socialist? What is he?
He's a Democratic Socialist. Yeah.
Okay. Democratic Socialist.
Avowed on his website.
Yeah, DSA with the red rose and all those people. He's part of them. There's a movement within the Democratic Party that is apparently like very socialist, and they're trying to take it over.
Yep.
Some of the libertarians want to go do that in the Republican Party. I think people tend to think of libertarians as like suburban or rural, right? But you live in the city and decided to run in an urban area. So why'd you decide to run? And then how is your district different than maybe you find with other candidates you're talking to here?
So the reason I wanted to run was because Jesse was running unopposed. And I love my community. And I think that the candidate should have to fight a little bit to earn the support of
their
community.
Do you know what percentage you ended up with?
I had 22.2%
of the vote. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I had a lot of Republican support. I had a few Democrat support.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, this guy's about to be kicked off the council, apparently, is he?
I've heard rumors about that he was going to be kicked out of the caucus. Can they actually kick people off the council?
I think they can remove for cause. He's just such a disruptive force.
He's passionate, about causes that may not be relevant to the community.
So when you're running in an inner city area, because we live in Center Township, which is the most urban part of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find your campaign differed from maybe how a traditional libertarian campaign might function?
It's easier to knock doors because they're closer together.
Right.
So I, except for all the potholes, we have to dodge those even on the sidewalks. Most libertarian candidates are probably running in rural townships, rural counties. They probably have a lot more agreement than I was getting. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of pushback. I got a lot of, you're not a Republican, are you? No, right. I'm not a Republican. I'm the best of both parties. I take the fiscal conservatism of what they say they're supposed to be doing in the Republican Party, and I take the socially liberal of the Democrat Party.
Which is really why I've always thought libertarians could thrive where we live, because you don't have the bad branding of the Republicans behind you. Yeah, you don't get that automatic 50% vote of straight ticket voting here in Indiana. But in terms of actually reaching out and talking to neighbors, did you have a lot of doors slammed in your face, or how did you find your neighbors to receive your message?
I had very few negative interactions after they found out I wasn't a Republican.
Yeah.
So there was only one, and he was a Jesse supporter. And I'm like, I'm glad you're supporting somebody. That's great. A lot of people were concerned about crime and about the blue line and potholes and stuff that is specific to our district. And they thought that most of the other political parties weren't actually thinking about their district.
Yeah, that's interesting that people actually do care about those services.
Yeah.
And so how did you address those as a libertarian? Because those are pretty much, I guess the government should spend more money on potholes and sidewalks. How do you figure that out?
So I encouraged them to decentralize. I wanted to have more power to neighborhood associations and have community policing and not just give away their power to somebody who's looking for maybe higher office, making the city council as a stepping stone. I don't want to run for higher office.
Right.
I want to help my community specifically.
Yeah, I love that. Being a catalyst for organization of civil service organizations that take right. care of this infrastructure.
Yes.
Because I lost two tires. I spent $600.
Me too.
Did you?
I've bent two rims in the last 5 years. $75 a pop.
$600 in a week on potholes here in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
How can we get together and fix those? Maybe with some funding, but we do the work because DOW can't do it all in a city like ours.
If I had been elected as city councilman, I would have gone and used the app myself and plot each pothole myself instead of letting the people do it for them.
After their tires you know,
exactly. Yeah. That would have been something that I did that would have affected specifically my constituents.
Would you ever run again?
I'm running for state rep right now for District 98.
All right.
So
glutton for punishment.
Yeah. And I need to be approved by the convention today. But right.
best of luck to
Thank you.
Libby
so much.
Glass, do you have a website?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I'll send it to you via Twitter if you want.
All right. Perfect. Okay. Please do. All right. All right. Thanks, Libby. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, Harry, let's just walk around.
Yeah, it's fine.
And, you know, see if we can find some interesting people to talk to.
Yeah, this should be fun.
Here's Andy Horning.
Yeah.
He's signing autographs.
Yeah, neat.
Maybe we should put... Here, let's talk to Chuck. Chuck is the biggest terrorist on my Facebook page right now. He's from Lake County, which is near Chicago. Chuck Pullen, he's the PA man, so he's... messing with
I'm going to buy you some wireless mics for Christmas.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Welcome to the convention.
Thank you. Welcome to the convention yourself.
I know. You've been here more than I have in the last decade, for sure. How'd you become a libertarian?
By default, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, the last couple of days, so like yesterday, we had the presidential candidates, and everybody asked them about, how'd you become a libertarian? Some people were Republican, some were Democrat. Some people just like by default. So I was a default, like waiting to find my place.
Right.
And then I was like, originally a Ron Paul libertarian kind of guy. And so it's okay, this guy makes sense. And that's just a by default libertarianism.
Nice. So, okay. So you're like on a commission now for real, right?
Yeah. The Republicans in my town thought it'd be a good idea to put a libertarian on an economic development committee to avoid things like this $580 million building behind us, whatever it was.
Yeah. So are you just like vetoing everything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I told him, I'm just going to say no to everything. But no, it's interesting because a lot of times what happens, and this happened right out of the gate with this committee, was these consultants come in and they want to start talking to you about residential TIFs and all these things. And then they talk about it like a panacea. It's free money. We're literally going to plant the money tree in your backyard. And then, of course, I was the one guy that goes, point of order here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the downsides of these. Because far too often you get a whole committee of people, they barely know what a TIF is, they barely know what these things are. You drop, just like in Congress, you drop a 1,000-page document in their lap and say you've got 10 minutes to read it, they have no idea what's going on. So when it comes to TIFs and stuff like that, a lot of people, they've only been told the good sides of things.
Yeah.
So again, being a good libertarian, I'm going to tell you the downsides, the bad sides to new taxes and free money.
Yeah.
Because there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? So
even if you get outvoted, you're at least there for balance.
And I think that's always been, I've heard that from a lot of libertarians. Look, even if we don't win, at least we have a seat at the table and at least our point of view has been heard. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the difference between being like the internet libertarian as opposed to actually going to meetings. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I've been hearing a lot about here at the conventions over the last few years is, you know, don't just show up and then your first time you're a libertarian, run for Congress.
Right.
I mean, start getting involved in town council, start going to your meetings, meeting the people. And that's how this worked out for me was I've never run for office. I had a new Republican council come in and they said, you know what? We want you to be a part of this. I say, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's for a lot of libertarians. It's a good way to get in the door.
What advice would you give to somebody to get yourself in that position to be appointed to something?
Just show up. That's the best part is just show up. And a lot of people, we were talking about this last night, was a lot of these meetings now, they're like at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Luckily for me and a lot of people, we still have evening meetings and stuff like that. But a lot of it is just show up. Like you said, just be a part of the conversation. And then eventually, it's like I've heard this a lot recently, is don't be that libertarian that says, oh, you're just state of scum. Show up and go, here's my opinion. Because we've been, a lot of times, I hear a lot of people, they always say, they talk about libertarians. I'm like, have you met libertarians in person or internet libertarians?
Right.
Yeah.
I said in person. So even like here in Indiana, I say, you know, the Indiana libertarians are not wearing boots on their heads. They're wearing suits. They're dressed up. They're professional people. They're lawyers. They're professional people, and they're not internet libertarians. I said, give us a chance. Come to an actual meeting.
That's our job.
That's your job. It's your job is to be there. But I'm saying that's the thing is I always tell people is to just get them to come to an event and meet real libertarians, not internet ones.
All right, Chuck. Thanks so
nice,
much.
Nice talking to you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. All right. Let's see. All right. Hi. How are you doing?
You're very popular here.
I know like most of the people here. There's Andrew. Let's talk to Andrew. Andrew does not look like he wants to talk to us.
No.
How are you doing? Here. Take the mic. We're just
Chris. How are you?
Walking around, talking to people, just saying hi, giving Abdul bleeding into our mics. You're actually a professional broadcaster,
yes.
Like us. You're also the communications director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana, Andrew Smith. How did you get roped into an official position? Why'd you want to serve?
I got voluntold by Evan. Basically, is basically how it worked out. I ended up doing James Ciniak's communications in his Senate campaign a couple of years ago, and that seemed to go well. And Evan asked me, and it's hard for me to say no. So yeah. I ended up getting the opportunity to tell the LPIN story, and hopefully, it's allowing us to get the word out about libertarians and our principles and our people statewide.
The newsletter looks great. It looks amazing. Like, how many hours a month do you put into your efforts?
Usually about, I would say, at least 2 to 3 hours a week. And that's typically Sunday night, scheduling all our social media posts for the week. And also writing press releases when needed. And especially with a legislative session going on, we're speaking out against bills that are going through the legislature or sometimes in favor of them or advocating for things that are very libertarian in nature. For example, one of our priorities this year was to repeal the gasoline sales tax, which we were able to get some earned media about that and get a little bit of buzz. Obviously, nothing happened in the legislature because Republicans like taxation, even though they claim they don't.
Yeah. And super majorities and our taxes aren't going down.
Anyway. Yeah, no. But it at least helped people see what the Libertarian Party's position is, where we are compared to seeing Republicans say, oh, we're for small government, and then actually governing the opposite. We actually believe in what we say we believe in, which is limited government. And we also were able to get a couple of bills killed that were counter to libertarian principles. A vaping bill was one of them. So really happy about those efforts.
All right. Andrew Smith, where can people find the Libertarian Party if they want to?
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, lpin.org. Also at lpin.org online. Looking forward to seeing all of you see the great things we're doing.
All right. Andrew, thanks so much.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Harry.
Just very smooth, the silky voice. We'll come back. Let's go over here and talk to Greg Noland. Greg has been a longtime person around here, Harry. I don't know that. Have you ever met Greg?
I think I have.
But Greg, hey, Greg, come here. You're live on the podcast. Greg, take this mic. You're going to have to hold it here because it's a little loud. It's pretty close.
All right.
How long have you been a libertarian?
Oh, my God.
Let's come out in here.
Yeah, I'm not real sure. 20, 30 years?
I've been around since 07. You were chair of your county party. You may still be.
Yes. No, I'm vice chair now.
Vice chair. Okay, you found another sucker.
I did. I was on the SEC for a long time, and so I found somebody to backfill me.
Let's just take stock of the party as a whole nationally. From where you, when you came in, let's say in the 90s, does that sound about right?
Probably.
Late 90s? All right. Where's the party at now compared to when you first came in?
There's good things and bad things. I'm not real pleased with the national leadership right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm hoping that we'll be able to do something about that come Memorial Day weekend and stuff. But from an Indiana perspective, I think we're doing really well.
Right.
We've made a lot of inroads. We've got a lot of more counties that we've got chapters in. And so it's exciting being here in Indiana with the Libertarian Party.
Yeah. Convention-wise, this looks amazing.
Yeah.
And compared to, what was your first Libertarian Party of Indiana convention like?
Oh, my God. Too long ago. I remember which they all blur together.
My first one was in 08, and it was next to the Sam's Club nearby Avon, and it was like in this tiny little room. Oh, wow. And everybody was like slammed in there, and there was like loose deli meat everywhere. I don't know. It was very small. So yeah. This space is just amazing.
Yeah.
Functional.
So I got a very good first time experience.
Yeah.
This is really
better.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some like small rooms, mediums rooms.
We had a presidential candidate at our Friday cocktail get together, and they said that most of the conventions, state conventions they'd been to, this was more than what they had at other states' conventions. Mm. And this wasn't even what we had Friday, isn't even half of what we've got in here today.
Wow. Yeah. You know? We're going to wander in there. We're going to go talk to Mark Rutherford now.
Mark's
so, Greg, thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
I talked to a couple of the presidential candidates, and I gave them your name.
All right.
So you may be hearing from a couple.
I'll take that up with you later. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. All right. There's Greg, another longtime member. But we're going to talk to Mark Rutherford. Mark?
Yeah, I've met him 5 times. Each time I meet him again, it's fun. It's a game to play.
Mark's a local lawyer, former vice chair of the party, and he's running for chair. So we're going to interrupt your conversation because we're libertarians and we have a mission that we would just must fulfill our goal here. And he's in broadcasting. So, Mark, take that mic. Mark, you are crazy.
Thank you. That's the kindest thing you've said to me in a while.
You're running for national chair. Why would you do that to
yourself? The reason I'm running for it is I've got the attributes to be the national chair. And right now, the national office is not being organized. The national board's not being organized very well, not being run very well. There's so much infighting. And actually, that fits me from the standpoint of I've been around for now a long time, and I can deal with that. I've dealt with that with other organizations. I've helped fix other organizations and get them to the point where it's functioning, it's moving forward, and it's doing what it needs to do finally.
Yeah. How would you evaluate how things are going now?
A lot of promises were made when the people who now are on the LNC took over, and they're not able to institute them. And whether you think the promises were any good or not is really not as important of an issue as their lack of ability to even get what they would like to do done. And that's what you have to do. You have to be able to work with everybody of all different traits, everybody on the National Committee of the Libertarian National Committee, and get them moving forward. That can be a little difficult, but you do it by talking to each other, working with each other. Sometimes you have to give. Sometimes you have to say, no, you have to give to me. But you make it work so that it's well run. People are respectful. They know what they're doing. They've got the right people running the right divisions, the right things that need to be done for all types of things that you need to do. And primarily, you need to have a good focus. And my focus is the state parties. It's the state parties that need to be made stronger. Mm-hmm. You need to make them stronger, and you need to help them train, and you need to train them and find money elsewhere to give to them to use to help organize the local parties.
Yeah, so if you want to vote for Mark Rutherford, you go to the convention in Washington, D.C. You got to be a delegate, right?
You have to be a delegate, yes.
Okay.
And there's a website out there, Rutherford Ellen Chair LNC at nationbuilder.com.
Okay.
That's the website. I also have a Facebook page that is also Rutherford LNC, Chair LNC.
I'll put all this in the show notes so people can hear it. Yeah. But yeah, Mark has been a great mentor to me, a great friend. He's helped me.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have the career I have if it hadn't been for
And
for
you've been
help.
Extremely helpful and have done wonderful things. And I love what you do with podcasting, everything that you do. It's just wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. We could go on if you're going to talk like that, but we're going to move on to
all right.
To,
you've
to
got a lot of good people
victim.
Here to talk to.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Harry, there's a lot of people here.
Yes.
Hey, let's ask. We got to talk to Christy Avery.
Yeah, it's Christy.
Christy Avery, how are you today?
I'm okay. How are you? And you?
Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Harry's enjoying. Are you enjoying your first Libertarian convention?
Yeah, I'm enjoying. Christy helped me get checked in this morning.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because producer Paul trapped me at the front door, and this is my first convention. I felt a little lost. I'm getting it.
We won't stay long for the business meeting, but you should just see the business meeting just to get to the full libertarian experience. Maybe we should make him stay for the bylaws.
No.
Bylaws arguments.
We don't torture people like that.
How many conventions have you gone to?
I don't know. I think I started being active in 2012.
Okay. That's where I first met you in the 2012 convention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because someone who will not be named dragged me into the party.
Her ex-husband. We got divorced the same week.
Yes, that was
which the 10th anniversary horrible. Was 3 weeks
recently,
ago.
Recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Whee!
The 13th birthday of Wall is March 12th. We'll be 13 years old at We Are Libertarians.
Yeah, teenager. Wow.
All right, well, Christy Avery, we're going to keep walking around and bugging people. See if we can find Don Rainwater.
Yeah.
I imagine we can hear him. Appreciate it. All right. Look, let's say hi to Michael.
Cool.
Michael Schulteis.
Hi, Michael.
Michael, chattiest man at the convention. Just wish you would keep it down. Why do you talk so much?
Just because I'm such an extrovert and love talking. And
all right. Hey, look, give the mic back. We got to keep going. We can't get him started. Michael, just keep talking. And
we do appreciate Chris for leaving his executive director role. That makes the role of treasurer much easier because we don't have payroll anymore.
Yeah, he's treasurer. So poor Dale Weedle, every year I was executive director, would get up in front of the convention and go, we're going to have to fire. But I do love seeing the donation box that I bought. I cut that hole in that donation box. So it's very sentimental to me to see all the holes that I cut in the middle of this party here.
We couldn't afford to buy our own box. We had to have you cut it.
We literally could not afford a donation box. I got that at Hobby Lobby and made one up. All right, Michael, thanks so much for joining us here.
No problem.
Let's keep walking this way. I'm not going to interrupt Andy. I love Andy, and we've had him on, and
yeah,
he's actually talking to people who can buy his book.
Great, yeah. He can always just come on, too.
Should we talk to people that we don't know?
Try to find some people we don't know, or more that you don't know, because there's a lot of people here I don't know. So
Yeah. Like Greg Nolan, I don't know that Greg, right?
No, that's my first time meeting Greg.
Brian Nichols already left.
Nichols?
Evan's talking. Well, now we... man, let's go over here. I want to talk to Joe Houtman. Should we just walk up to the front of the stage and start podcasting right in front of them?
Yeah. I don't think you'd appreciate that.
Hey, man, there's Luke Lomax. He's a Wall patron. I don't know anybody in this room, Harry. That's pretty cool. There's a lot of people I don't know.
That's fun.
Joe, we'll have to just have you on an episode. Because you're eating yats, and I don't want to interrupt you.
What's your question?
We'll talk to you later.
Yes.
All right, bye. All right. Let's see here, Harry. Maybe we may be done.
Yeah.
Now that the meeting, I wanted to try and get the meeting done. Oh, God. Could you imagine listening to Evan talk for, like, the next 5 hours?
Depending on the subject, yeah, I could do it.
He's going to, regardless. No matter what, he will continue to talk. We should come over here and just podcast. Mm-hmm. It probably sounds like the teacher from Charlie Brown in the microphone.
Yeah, in the mics, yeah, probably does.
All right, let's go out here. Let's wrap this up.
I know.
There's Libby. Sarah, you want to chat for a second? Okay. All right. Well, that's enough.
Michael got his cookie pusher.
We got rejected. Cookies. We got rejected by the only female here. It's about right.
It's okay. You got a ring now, so it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not worried about that.
I know.
Not at all.
Then I got Danny Lundy.
Oh, there's Tim McGuire, Danny Lundy.
My drinking partners.
Look at here. This is a fun lunch. There's Tim McGuire and Danny Lundy.
We breathalyze these people before they come in. Hey, Danny.
Yeah. We really. See you later.
Did they just run from the mic? Yeah,
they really did. No, thank you. I think we're done here.
I know. Tim was like, roll. So they got mics.
I love that people would rather go to a business meeting than talk to us.
I know.
Let's see if there's anybody in here.
I think they opened all the rooms, remember?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Let's go outside then. It's a little cold. Can you stand it?
Yeah, it's not that cold. It's actually warm here this winter in Indiana for some reason. It's going to be 70 tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've taken the RX-8 out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Let me...
Are you going to push
this?
Don't use your foot. People need to use their hands to touch that, okay?
Hi, everybody. How's it going? I can breathe.
Man. All right, so
would you come to a Libertarian convention again?
Yeah, probably set up a booth that says, like, taxes are the price that we pay to live in a civilized society, and just set up a microphone just to
You could make a whole album out of that.
Exactly. It's the easiest way to get people to podcast. I'll just sit there with a microphone. It's like, that's the price we pay to live in a civilized society.
What's funny is libertarians don't want to talk, but then when you get them to talk, they won't stop.
Exactly. Yes, yes, yeah. I thought it was just the group that we were around, but coming here, I'm like, no, this just is all of you. All of you were like this.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. We haven't really talked much about the Libertarian Party in a long time, and Evan invited us to come and be a part of it. So we figured we'd come and just talk to folks and give you a sense of what it's like to go to a Libertarian Party convention. Harry, final thoughts?
No, I really enjoyed hearing from Evan and Evan's like speech on how Indiana is different than everywhere else.
See, that's the conversation you have with a libertarian. It was a speech. Yeah. It's not a conversation.
But it was great, and it's great seeing everybody else again. It's like being a part of a family and actually coming to the family reunion for once.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again here on We Are Libertarians.